I was there when you crossed over to the dying part of living. I held your hand and slowly watched you go. Oh, I know you're someplace better than what I can imagine, but I can't help the way I miss you so. If I have to knock on every mansion door, walk miles of golden streets, search among the million saints that rest at Jesus' feet, I will run along the jasper walls, call your name upon the wind. I will find you again. I would never be so selfish as to pray you back from heaven, so I could have you longer here with me. So I cherish every memory, 'cause it helps me to remember that where you are is where I'm gonna be. If I have to knock on every mansion door, walk miles of golden streets, search among a million saints that rest at Jesus' feet, I will run along the jasper walls, call your name upon the wind.
I'll be looking for you.
I will find.
I'll be looking for you there. How about that? Isn't that beautiful? To think of getting to heaven and looking over that great place and finding the loved ones you knew and just life together with them. Oh, friend, do you understand what is awaiting us? Do you understand what's down our road? Now, I want to talk today about a beautiful subject, the triumphant saints. The triumphant saints. Now, we live in a day that being a saint is not easy. Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. It's the only life worth living, but it's still not easy. There are trials. There are temptations. There are tough places. There are hardships. There are sorrows. There's parting. I mean, there is a lot to experience in this world, and it's better than anything else the world has. I'm telling you, heaven is going to be a wonderful place. Now, today, we're going to talk about the triumphant saints. I want to do my best to tell you everything that's awaiting us. Now, you know I'm hardly going to get started. I mean, I know just what I know. The Bible says we know in part, but then we shall know even also as we are known. The Bible even says we prophesy in part. We prophesy in part. But then we will be with glorified bodies and we'll have the mind of God. We'll have the mind of the heavens. I don't know the extent of it. I can't describe all of that. You know, I'm telling you what the Bible said. And when you go past the Bible, you got to leave that in God's hands. But I'll tell you, it's going to be great. How many of you are really excited about being forever a part of that heavenly crowd? How many of you are excited about what awaits you at the end of this journey? I tell you, I am. With all that's in me, I am. I am excited about what waits me over there. And I want you to be excited about it. I want you to so live that you're ready to go at any moment. And let me tell you what I'm doing. You know, I'm writing a book on the life of Apostle Paul. I've just finished chapter 56. There will be about 80 chapters, not big chapters, but 4, 5, 6 pages. And it's going to be a good book. I'm excited about that. But the first two books that Apostle Paul wrote, the first two epistles, we call them in our day, two epistles that Apostle Paul wrote, he wrote to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. He was at Corinth. He had been up at Thessalonica. He had left Timothy and Silas up there. And then they came down to where he was. He'd been in Athens, and then he moved a few miles away to Corinth. And they came and told him that things just didn't look good up at Thessalonica. They were concerned. The church at Thessalonica was really going through a hardship. Tremendous persecution. Great tribulation. I mean, they were having to really bear this faith, brand new faith, and they're having to bear it on their arm. I mean, they were going through it. Well, Paul sat down and wrote them 1 Thessalonians. The epistle of 1 Thessalonians. And what does he tell them in 1 Thessalonians? Over and over, he tells them about the coming of Christ. You can't read 1 Thessalonians and not know the rapture will precede the great tribulation. Because he uses terms like saved from the wrath to come. I mean, he's telling them, you know, you're going through it now, but you're going to be saved from the wrath to come. It really is beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. I have had an exciting time in those two chapters. I read 1 Thessalonians again this morning because it is so real. I'm preaching tomorrow morning, Lord willing now. That's the Lord willing. I'm preaching tomorrow morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. That's 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1 and 2. Now, those verses are just really breathtaking, and we'll go back there in a little bit, maybe, if we have time. But I want to go to 1 Corinthians. He wrote that sometime later. The third book he wrote was Galatians, which he wrote from Ephesus. I've got to get to that this week in writing, but it's really a thrill to see how Apostle Paul just flooded those saints at Thessalonica who was going through hell on earth. They really were. You remember what happened to him at Philippi, which is just a short distance from Thessalonica. And then they had come over to Philippi and really started a tremendous situation. And the disciples finally had Paul to go on down to Athens and then to Corinth because they were worried for his life. I mean, they were determined to destroy that man. They were really determined to destroy him. These were Jews, of course, that hated this new faith called the Christian church. They hated it. They saw it as a complete blasphemy. And so they were after Apostle Paul to destroy him. They really were. Well, Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He was there now when he wrote 1 Thessalonians, but he was elsewhere when he wrote 1 Corinthians. Now, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Listen to that. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, we shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And all of this happens in the twinkling of an eye. Now, friend, I don't know. Do you understand the grandness of the great rapture? Do you understand the grandness of what we've called for years the blessed hope? The Bible calls it that. The blessed hope. It was Paul who penned those words again. The blessed hope. The glorious rapture. The coming of Christ for his saints. For the believer. For the obedient believer. The overcomer. As it is said seven times in the first, the second, and third chapters of Revelation. Now, my friend, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. He's coming before that tribulation. The world hates that. The devil hates that. Why does the world hate it? Because the devil hates it. And there are many people who claim to be Christians that do not understand the pre-tribulation rapture. And I weep over that. I don't feel bad at them. I feel concerned for them. I hurt for them. I get calls from them a lot, and they get bothered at me because I won't dig into their particular perspective. They think maybe they can change my mind, but I had a minister who said to me some time ago he believed believed in the mid-trib, he said, well, there's a more possibility that I will change than there is a possibility that you will change. And I chuckled because I knew what he was saying. You old bullhead, you ain't going to change. And I guess when it comes to the pre-tribulation rapture, I'm not just bullheaded, I'm biblical. I mean, I'm not just bullheaded, I'm biblical. And I stay with the book. Every word in this Bible is dependable. Now, let's talk about this triumphant hour. What do you say? Let's talk about this triumphant hour. I wrote a list of things that I'm here to tell you will occur when that triumphant moment comes. Are you looking for it? How many of you are ready? I mean, no question. There's no spots in your life. You're living a consecrated life. The house of God, the church of the living God, is the pillar and the very essence of your commitment and your surrender. You really do belong to God. You really do belong to Christ. You've been born again. There's oil in your vessel. There's fire in the pot. I mean, you are on fire for the Lord. You are dedicated to the Lord. The Bible says if you're neither hot nor cold but lukewarm, he will spew you out of his mouth. Did you hear that? And the Bible speaks of these Christians who had allowed their fire to go out, the 10 virgins. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those were words of Jesus, Matthew 25. So don't play around. Don't be careless. Don't be loose and cheap in your lifestyle. Be on fire for the Lord. Give him all you got. Dedicate yourself to him. There's no life like it. I don't even know how to talk to people who have no interest in the things of God. All I know to do is tell them about God. Oh, I can talk about fish in a minute, but I haven't been in years. I like to get in the woods and camp a night. I'll talk about that a little bit. I love hiking. I love riding my bicycle. There's a few little things like that, simple things. But I'm looking for Jesus to come. I'm excited for the coming of the Lord. Now, let me name some things. Your body will be completely changed. It will be immortal. I mean immortal. Totally transformed. A new body. I mean a brand new body. I mean, that's going to be something special. Your thoughts will become so unlimited in the divine sense. You will love the things of God, and you will understand things that you do not understand now. Now we see through a glass darkly, the Bible said, but then face to face. Now, when he said face to face, I think he was talking about the beauty of our ability in that blessed day to understand the things of God. That is going to be a special occasion. There will be no disease. And no pain, no sickness of any description. The body will be completely immortal. It'll be an eternal body. It'll be an eternal body. It can never die. It can never have disease. It can never feel pain. It'll be an eternal body. That's going to be something special, to have a body that is, I mean, just absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. No scars, no, I mean, maybe there'll be the scars we took for Jesus. His scars will be there. So maybe if I bear any marks, had a few times of marks, maybe there'll be, I don't know, but they won't have no pain. They'll have no limitation. You will know even as you are known. I'll be Joe Chambers. I'll be Joseph Chambers. You that can't hardly stand me, but you want to be in heaven, you get used to me because I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. I promise you, I am not going to let anything keep me from being there. Not because I'm sufficient, but because he's sufficient. And I'm trusting only in him. I'm trusting only in him. You will know even as you're known. I'll know my sweetheart, Juanita. She'll know her sweetheart, Joseph. Now, we won't live as husband and wife. There will be no marital intimacy on that blessed shore, but we'll certainly know one another and love one another and have great friendship together. And I promise you, I tell her all the time, you got to come over, honey, and clean my mansion up. You got to come over, honey, and clean my mansion up. But that won't be required. I promise you that. You will never have any thought of death. There'll be no fear of death. There'll be no fear of me losing Juanita there or her losing me. There'll be no fear of moms and dads. They'll all be united if they were right with God and they're in that place of eternal rest. What a day that's going to be. There's a picture that showed up on the Facebook yesterday of W.C. Lambert. How many of you out there would know or remember W.C. Lambert? How long has he been dead? Probably 30 years, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how much older he was than I, but I was 16 when he became my pastor. He had come down to Bushy Fork. Have you ever heard that word? Bushy Fork. That's the little community where I was raised and lived. He came down to Bushy Fork, oh, a little mile or two from the actual little town, not town, but a little store there, and he preached in under the oak trees on the farm there, and he stood up on a trailer that we haul tobacco on. Can you believe that? And he stood up on that trailer for the people there and preached the gospel. Now, I don't remember the sermon. I just remember the Holy Ghost getting a hold of my heart, and he's never turned me loose. That's all I really remember about him preaching there on the farm. But Brother W.C. Lambert, his picture was on Facebook yesterday, and I couldn't help but write a little note. The month of March, 1952, he came to that farm, and I got under conviction and became a believer, surrendered my life to Christ. That's going to be a joy seeing Brother Lambert. They called him Lanky Lambert. Anybody remember that? Lanky Lambert. Well, that was way back. He was saved, I think, over at the old Parkwood Avenue Church of God here in Charlotte. I think that's where he was saved. I'm almost sure of that. He was gloriously converted, and he became a real servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get in this new body and we're raptured up, we're going to see Jesus. Did you know that? We're actually going to see Jesus. And let me tell you something about seeing Jesus. He's going to know you, and he's going to know your name. And if you've been faithful and you've testified of him and bore witness of him, he will bear witness of you to the Father. That's one of the things he said. That if you will bear the testimony of me, of Christ, then I will bear you and testify of you to the Father. Can you imagine Jesus saying, hey, my Father, come here. I want you to meet Joseph Chambers, one of my servants that obeyed me and called your name. I want you to meet. You say, heaven, will it have time for all of that? Heaven will have time for everything that God's got planned, friend, because all we'll have is time. And it will be unmeasured time, see? It'll be time, but unmeasured time. There'll be eternity. And so there won't be in the measuring of time by days or months or years or decades or centuries. It will just be an eternal place. What a day that's going to be. And we'll be there together. We'll be there with all the saints of God of all the ages. Can you imagine seeing Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Can you imagine spending time with Moses? Can you imagine spending time listening to King David play his instruments of music? Can you imagine old Solomon singing that 105 songs? Did you know the Bible said that Solomon wrote over 3,000 proverbs and 105 songs? Can you imagine hearing those songs? Hearing David play the harp? Oh, friend, the music in heaven will waft across that place and it will do something to you that you don't even understand now. The joy of it, the blessedness of it, the peace of it, it will be transcending, transcending. Oh, I can't wait to go there. Now, you know the story of Apostle Paul, that he was caught up to the third heaven. He wouldn't even take credit for it. He just said, I knew someone. But he was caught up to the third heaven. And he said, I saw unspeakable things that it's not lawful for me to describe them. God wouldn't even let him tell us of this indescribable place called heaven. Oh, David saw a little bit when he wrote Psalms 49, I believe it is. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful for situation is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Oh, I'm telling you, words like that just overwhelm me. And to think of seeing the Son of God. I've been praying the last week that I might know him with a greater degree and sense than I've ever known him. that there might be an intimacy in my relationship with Him, that I might know all the beauty of His person, all the beauty of His life and His power and His grace. For this corruption, the corruptible, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Listen to that. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Could I tell you, there won't be a cemetery in heaven or on the or in the new earth, heaven and earth, the new heaven and the new earth. Let me say it right. Won't be a cemetery there. Not one. Can you imagine? A place where there's no cemeteries. A place where there's no morticians. Oh, there may be some people who used to be morticians if they belong to Christ and they're born again. But there'll be no practicing morticians over there. No doctors. No need of doctors. The doctors that are saved will just be enjoying the blessings of heaven. There won't be doctrine on the crippled and the sick. Now, it's going to be even more exciting and beautiful than this man could ever have words to describe. And I want you to get ready to go. I want you to make sure you're ready to go. Now, let me take your calls. I know this is Father's Day weekend, and happy Father's Day to every father out there. We're going to honor one of the greatest men in Charlotte, North Carolina tomorrow. His name is James Lindsay. James Lindsay. He will be 90 years old in September. 90 years old in September. But we honor him tomorrow as the father of the decade. I know, the father of the century. Really. Oh, I tell you what, he's a blessed man. Getting a little slow now, still plays his guitar, but he'll be here, Lord willing. And so if you want to honor that precious man, you just get ready to come to Paul Creek tomorrow. That will be our morning worship. Begins at 10 till 11. 10 till 11. I'll be preaching. I'm planning to preach, as I said, on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that he will come as a thief in the night. As a thief, suddenly, no warning. There won't be no text sent out. There won't be no nothing on Twitter. There won't be no Facebook announcements. Afterwards, yes, but before, no. Oh, what a day! Are you ready? No, I want to say it over and over and over. Are you ready? Now, I want questions. I want to know anything you want to know about heaven, about the rapture, about what's going to happen when the rapture takes place. How we literally will suddenly be transformed right here, wherever you're at. If he would come now, I would be transformed and disappear from before this camera. I would be gone, I presume, in a flash. I've often thought we may have time. You know, in the book of Matthew, Matthew tells about a few people who were resurrected in Jerusalem when Jesus was resurrected. And their graves were open. The Bible said their graves was open. They saw the holes, or the people did. And that these people actually appeared in Jerusalem and appeared to many. Actually appeared to people. Resurrected bodies actually appeared to people in Jerusalem when Jesus was resurrected. I think that's Matthew 27. And that's a beautiful story. And maybe we'll have time to go by the home of that son or daughter, or grandson or granddaughter that's not ready, and warn them not to take that mark of the beast. Not to take that mark of the beast. I mean, that's going to be a dire warning. It really is. Now, I've been talking here, and I want you to ask your question. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Now, the local number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then the email, jrc@paulcreek.org. I'll go check that. So send your email if you cannot call. If you can call, grab your phone. I'd love to talk with you. I love telephone calls on this broadcast. You know, this is my 43rd year. You understand that, don't you? My 43rd year. Yeah, started in 74, and so now we're moving into the middle half of 2016. So 43 years, I'm on the process of fulfilling. I will fulfill 43 years this fall. this fall. I think it was something like September, maybe it was August, September, October. I don't have the exact date of the first broadcast, but I know 43 years we are now in the process. And I've always loved your telephone calls. I've had a few guests, and I will probably have guests again. But I want you to understand, I'd really rather have you calling me because you are my guest. Do you understand? You are my guest. You are my very important guest. And so grab your phone. Let me hear from you. I'm going to give you my sermon from tomorrow on a CD. I'm going to give you that sermon on as like a thief in the night. I'm going to give it to you. If you'll call, and the ladies will take your name and prepare, and we'll send it to you like a thief in the night. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. We've got ladies standing by. They'll take your name. If we don't have your address, they'll take that. And then, of course, you can talk to me. On the phone. I've got four lines. I can take one call after the other. So just call quickly. I want to hear from you. Want to answer your question. I want to help you understand what it's going to be like the best I can. What it's going to be like when the King comes. What it's going to be like when the King comes. Can you imagine that blessed moment? You're on the air. May I help you, please? All right. I got one button I hadn't pulled. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I got a question for you.
Okay, I got an answer, I hope.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you perfectly.
You hear me?
I hear you perfectly, sir. Are you hearing me? Well, what is going on here? I got it on. I got it on. Go ahead, sir. Let's have your question. Go ahead, sir. Let's have your question. Well, I don't know why they don't hear me, because I'm on and everything here is modulating. And so if I'm not on, it's somewhere past here. So, sir, can you hear me now? Go ahead. Somebody tell him to call back and see what is wrong. It may be that first line. I don't know. I had trouble a little while ago with I'm talking and all of a sudden they can't hear me. I mean, the devil hates this. You know he hates what I'm doing. Do you know how much the devil hates what I'm doing? Do you realize he just despises teaching this great truth that I teach and opening people's mind to it until there's no way to doubt it. There really is no way to doubt it. There really is not. It's just that grand. And so call quickly, and I hope, I don't know why he could not hear me. I do not understand. I know that everything here is modulating rightly. And that's all I can do when I know it's on, that's on, and I hope it is no more problem. I really do. Let's pray for that. Call quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, email jrc@paulcreek.org, jrc@paulcreek.org. Father, in Jesus' name, whatever that difficulty is, smite it and drive it out of here and break it. I had that problem two other times earlier with the telephone, and we always felt like somebody was trying to interrupt with a you know, some kind of instrument. I don't know. But call quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. I want to help you. I want to answer your question. I want you to understand what that rapture is going to be like. I really do. Now you're on the air. Can I help you, please?
Yes, I was talking to a Christian brother.
Now, can you hear me good?
Yes.
I don't know what was wrong a while ago. Go ahead now.
Okay. I was talking to a dear Christian brother. He's in his 90s this morning, and we were discussing several things. And it occurred to me that the people in Hollywood and politics and everything that live for the here and now and are involved in this satanic stuff that's going on, you wonder, how is it they can, like a man that's being ready to be evicted from his house and the sheriff's due to arrive to kick him out any time, he can sit in front of the television and not think about the future? How could he enjoy the show? And I think about, cannot visualize heaven or even what's going to happen in the next few weeks or few months or few years. Their concept of time absolutely blows my mind.
And well, I understand the concept of, you know, time that is unmeasured, time that has no limits, time that's just wonderful and eternal. What a day that's going
to
be.
Let me add, one thing occurred to me. I've met a lot of people that regret that they did not invest more time in study when they were in school. When we get to heaven, do you think one of the things that's going to make us feel bad is that we did not take advantage of our ability to pray, and we will see what God could have done through our discipline if we had taken more time to diligently pray and energize ourselves for service through time in preparation through prayer?
No question. I can imagine the things. I am digging now into the life of Apostle Paul. Let me tell you something I learned this past week. I learned that in the three journeys of Apostle Paul on the missionary activity, he traveled 8,000 miles. 8,000 miles. Now, about a little over three of that was on cargo ships, not on ocean liners. They didn't have none of those. It was just old cargo ships. He probably had to sleep in a pile of corn, you know, corn on the cob, or maybe they had some wooden benches there in the cargo ship for people like him to sleep on. But from Ephesus to Jerusalem was about a month's travel. A month's travel on a boat, on a ship, Ephesus to Jerusalem, 650 miles, and the other somewhere like 4,000 he walked. Now that's only the direct miles. That don't have anything to do with the miles around a particular city like Philippi, and they went to every area they could reach in Macedonia that was connected with Philippi. That was kind of the capital. The miles the man walked in those years of missionary activity blow my mind. How many preachers would take a missionary trip today if they had to do what Paul did?
Very few.
And now you know, someone's already begging you for money to take a missionary trip. And you know what I say? I don't pay for airplanes and hotels. If you want to go on a missionary trip, those two things you pay for. I'll give money to your mission project. I'll give money to build a church. I'll give money to help a native preacher that lives on $50 a month, you know. I'll do things like that. But I don't give money for people to hire plane rides and hire hotels to live in. Because mission to me is hard work, and you don't want it to be nothing else.
I have always appreciated the way you look at things, and I think there are tens of thousands of church members in Charlotte that need to understand the way you're looking at this and the way you understand things and the way you receive things from God.
Well, I mean, I just belong to the Lord, brother. I'm nothing. Old country preacher is all I am. I'm just a man that loves this holy book, you know, and I live in it. And you're talking about having the time of my life writing this book about Apostle Paul. I feel like I've gotten saved. That man was a devoted man. I mean, the demons couldn't even get around him. I mean, he could, it was marvelous. And I want to be a man like that so bad. I just hate I've waited too long to be more than I am.
One of the things that just totally brings tears to my eyes, when I think of the seven sons of Sceva.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't got to that one yet. That's in my writing for this coming week.
Jesus I know, and Paul. Imagine Paul being the sinner being linked up with the name of the Lord Jesus by the demons.
You know, that is one of the greatest things you can say about Apostle Paul. The devil knew who he was.
I don't want to take anything away from Job. You know, they talk about the patience of Job, but I can't think of Paul without thinking of the word patience.
More than patience, brother. More than patience. I've got to take another call here. I've been waiting too long. But he had seen the Lord. And he had made up his mind before he preached his sermons on those missionary trips that he was ready to die. He had no more fear of death than if it didn't even exist. In fact, all he could think about when he thought about death was, I'll see my Lord. I'll see my Lord. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. His very words.
Oh.
I love you. You're on the air. May I help you, please? I love you. Are you there? Are you there, sir? Please speak up. Are you there, my dear friend? I'm waiting on you. All right, I have to move on because testing again. Are you there? All right, give us a call. I'm sorry. I don't know whether that's one particular line or what it is, but grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. If everybody calls every line, some of them are going to work, okay? It's just that simple. Hey, Jesus is coming. Hey, the saints are just about, we are at the very edge of our triumphant moment. We are so close to the triumphs of triumphs. The greatest celebration of human history. The greatest event that you can ever imagine will be that marriage supper of the Lamb. When the saints 2,000 years, plus even Old Testament saints, when they all gather together as his bride and the guest of the wedding, all the guest of the church and the guest of the groom, when we get together for that marriage celebration, friend, you have never heard of nothing that matches that celebration. And notice, there's four different crowds that will be there. There will be the bride, there'll be the bridegroom, there'll be the guest of the bride, and the guest of the bridegroom. Okay? You got that? The bride and the groom, and the guest of the bride, and the guest of the groom. Hey, that's going to be a celebration unimaginable. You've never been to a wedding where everybody was the bride. And most Christians today think everybody's going to be the bride. The bride's going to be those who earn the right to be the bride. Remember, you've never been to a wedding where everybody was the bride. You always had guest of the bride and guest of the groom, and then you had the groom, and then you had the bride. And that's how the great marriage supper is going to be. Would you like to ask the question about that? I doubt some of you ever even heard those words. But the Bible is just right, real. It's just one of those great books that you've got to get into it and dig into it and get all of it. Grab your phone. I want to talk to you. Grab your phone. I want to talk to you. Okay? The lines, are they open? The lines are open. I'm going to give you a sermon from tomorrow. A sermon. I want you to have it. A CD. And I promise you, as a thief in the night, I promise you, you'll enjoy that sermon. I really do. And I want to give it to you. What more can I offer? Grab your phone and call the ladies. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Okay, grab it quickly. I want to hear from you. I really love answering your questions. They are important to Brother Chambers because you are important to me. And so answering your questions is my joy. Okay? The email jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. And again, I want to tell you about my sermon tomorrow, Like a Thief in the Night. I mean, that is very, very important. I'm sorry. I was trying to find a handkerchief to shield you, but I didn't find it. That's the second time I ever remember sneezing on the radio program. I did that some weeks ago, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. God bless your sweetheart. Hope I didn't, strain your ears. But call me quickly. I really want to hear from you. You are so important. But really, above everything, I want you ready for the rapture. I want you ready for that triumphant moment. The greatest triumph in all human history. Nothing is more important. Nothing is more important than Jesus coming. And we're going to go together. What a day. You are on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? Go ahead, my friend.
I had a question for you.
Okay. Please go ahead. Please ask your question.
I had a question for you about during the time of the rapture.
About the time of the rapture? Well, I believe the time of the rapture is before the 7-year tribulation period. The Bible is very plain about that. He comes to get his saints before the Antichrist is turned loose. It would not be imaginable that he would turn the Antichrist loose on his bride. That would make no common sense. So we know that at any moment he can get his bride because the Antichrist crowd and everything you can imagine for the tribulation period is ready. I really believe that it's ready. It could take place any moment. Any moment. So before it can happen, the one thing that's got to happen before the tribulation is the restrainer has got to be removed. and the restrainer is the saints of God full of the Holy Ghost. I could say it this way, the Holy Ghost in the saints of God. Okay?
Yes, sir. The children that will be here with parents that aren't saved.
They will not go in the rapture. They will not go in the rapture. No child of an unsaved mom or dad. No child of an unsaved mom or dad can go in the rapture. Now, let me tell you why. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. Let me take you to it. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. The book of Matthew, chapter 24. Says, and woe to them that are with child. That's pregnant. And to them that give suck, that's children that's been born. Woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye, your flight be not in the winter, neither in the summer. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, that's in Matthew 24, begin with verse 19. You can find the same statement in the book of Luke. So, little children of unsaved moms and dads will not go in the rapture. Do you understand? Do you understand, my dear friend? All right, somebody called. I presume I'm not getting good usage on that one. I got a whole bunch of them here. Let's see what I've got. I read in your book on Revelation that certain saints will not be part of the bride of Christ. Why is this so since they are Christians too? All right, good question. In my book, I say that there are two classes of people in heaven. These are the saints of God in heaven. One is those who are part of the bride and they live in the city of New Jerusalem. The others are saved people, blessed people, people that, you know, that you couldn't help but just feel excited for, but they are not part of the bride. You say, now, Brother Chambers, I can't handle that. Well, I can understand why there are people who can't handle that. Yes, thank you, Ms. Chambers. We're having a little difficulty here, so don't pay any attention. We're okay. Go in your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and I'll see if I can find it here. But the saved and the nations, and listen to this, verse 24 of Revelation 21, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of the city. In the light of the city. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now, the people who earn the brideship, the right of the highest honor, will live in New Jerusalem and be the bride. The saints who lost their reward or did not receive the highest reward, maybe they were rewarded, but not to the level of brideship. They will be saved. They will live in the new heaven and the new earth. And he says it. And the saved of them which are, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Talking about the city. Read it for yourself. Revelation chapter 21. Just read the chapter. And there is no way out. There's no way around it. Is that there will be those who get the reward of the new Jerusalem and those who get the reward of the new heaven and the new earth. They are two different groups. They're all saints. They're all saved. They all got washed in the blood. They all belong to Christ. Okay? Now, if you want to ask more about that, Carl, I don't mind trying. I'll do my best. Here's another here. Is there any chance of a backslider who missed the rapture making it right and going to heaven? Or do you think one will just be completely lost and be damned? Thanks. I want to call, but my cell phone won't let me call and use on it in my internet. I love you in the Lord, Brother Beard. Now, listen, let me tell you that that's a good question. After the rapture, there will be a multitude of people saved. Some of them will be people who've never been saved. Some of them will be backsliders who just got careless and got away. They didn't make the ultimate blasphemous act of rejecting God to the point that they became reprobates. So there'll be two crowds of people after the rapture. One crowd will be unsaved. Well, two crowds. Now, let me see. One crowd. One crowd will be both the unsaved and backsliders, and they'll be able to get right with God. There's a multitude that get right with God. Look in Revelation 6 and Revelation 7. You'll see the proof of that. But there'll be another crowd who have blasphemed God, who rejected the truth, who made the ultimate choice against God, and they'll be given a reprobate mind, and they cannot get right with God. Okay? So, you don't want to be in that crowd that have to get right after the rapture, is what I want to tell you. Because it may be that you've gone so far you can't get right. I can't tell you what that dividing line is. Only God can give you that dividing line. Let me take a call here. You're on the air. May I help you, please? All right. They must have had to. Sometimes they have to go back in there. So let me go back again and try that. You on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please? Well, they waited and left me. All right. Grab your phone and call back. I want your calls. I really do. I'd rather answer a call to you, to my friends out there that eat when I'm hungry. I want you to understand that. Here's another one. Are all saints who go up in the rapture called the bride of Christ? Well, that's a great question, but I do not think so. The Bible says after the rapture, there will be the judgment seat of Christ. After the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where every person will learn what their rewards are. At the judgment seat, after the rapture, you will learn your rewards. If you're a clean, living, godly person, but you just sit on a church pew and you won't get out and get busy, you're not a go-getter, then, you know, that's a dangerous way to live, I promise you. So, very important, get yourself ready utterly and totally right with God. You on the air, may I help you, please? You on the air, may I help you, please?
There'll be no worry of anyone missing the rapture. Any Christian, as God gives us eternal life.
Now, you're saying there's no... What happens then to people who are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, and he says, I'll spew them out of my mouth? What does he mean by that in Revelation chapter 3? Can you not explain it? Explain Revelation chapter 3 when the Lord said, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. And then go to Matthew chapter 25 and explain 10 virgins. 10 virgins. Notice they were all virgins. They were all virgins. See, there are people just like that dear gentleman, probably a good man, but he just won't listen. He just won't listen. He's smarter than the Bible. Smarter. You've got so many people out there smarter than their Bible. They know more than God knows. They've been told something by some preacher who didn't have it put together right, and so they're going to believe what that preacher said, and they're not going to pay no attention to what God said. Isn't that dangerous? Can you imagine living like that? I'm not going to live that way. Every word of this Bible, not a jot or tittle, will pass away. You on that line, may I help you, please? You on the line, may I help you, please? Are you there, my friend? Well, I'm sorry this stupid phone is acting up today. I guarantee you when we check it, it won't be nothing wrong. But somebody has sent a signal trying their best to hinder Brother Chambers. They just don't like what I do. Are you there, my friend? Are you there, my friend? Let me try again. Are you there, my friend? Are you there, my friend? Are you there? Can I help you? All right, he's gone. Well, I'm sorry. This has happened one time before that the phone just would not work right. And, of course, we'll get it checked Monday. We'll get the people here who put it in, and they probably won't find nothing. And they're going to say, what in the world is happening? It's been going on for several months, and we're all looking for it. But whoever it is will pay, brother. Believe me. Can you imagine what that person is going to pay who hates such a thing as this and is determined to hinder? Can you imagine? I mean, really, can you imagine? It won't be funny. I promise you, it won't be funny. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. We've had to miss calls today because something has happened and hindered the telephone. I saw it really before the program started. I said, uh-oh, somebody has somehow, we are thinking maybe it's a shortwave radio. that somebody brings into the area and directs it toward me and just turns up it wide open and it finds a place to break through in our technology. And I don't know anything except that we got FBI, we got the Federal Communication Corporation. We're doing our best to find it, but in the meantime, I'm carrying on just like nothing's wrong. That's what God's people do. You just keep on keeping on. You buckle down. You get stronger. You dig in the Bible and you learn the truth. Now, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, if you're not ready to go in that rapture, I'm here to tell you, if you're not ready right now, I mean imminent. The rapture is imminent. I got a text yesterday from Brian McDonald, one of my preacher friends, and he just asked me how I was doing. And I wrote him back and said, I'm ready to go today or tomorrow. He texted me back and said, I'm ready to go right now. Right now. And I said, better than what I said. Today or tomorrow, right now is better than today or tomorrow. Right. He's coming any moment. Are you ready? Are you ready? Grab your phone. I can't get the calls through, right? So grab your phone and I can, and I'll try again and send a text, okay? We can get the text. That's that they're working. So send a text and we'll do our best to talk with you and be a blessing to you because you are important to us. Do you hear me? You are important to us. And I love to talk about the coming of the Lord. Maybe some of you has joined since we started. I hope you can see into the sanctuary. I didn't open that door last Saturday and somebody fussed at me. They like that door open where they can see all the way into our beautiful sanctuary. And I pray it'll be full tomorrow. I hope you'll just get ready and come and hear that sermon on in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. I'm telling you, in a moment's time, it's going to be great at midnight. Who knows? Jesus is coming and I'm leaving. Are you ready? Are you ready? I want to go back now. I love these verses that I've been reading today. Let me read them again because some of you join later. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not going to die, all of us. But we shall all be changed, whether we die in the faith and are buried, or whether we're raptured without dying, we're all going to be changed. Do you hear that? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, I'm going to take you to my text for tomorrow, which is 2 Thessalonians. About as beautiful of truth as one can find in this Holy Bible. I mean, it really is. God's Word is marvelous. I love to learn how Paul wrote these two letters. The first two he wrote, 1 Thessalonians was first, and 2 Thessalonians was second. He actually wrote 2 Thessalonians because there was some misunderstanding up in Thessalonica about something he said in 1 Thessalonians. And so Paul wanted to correct it for them and to make sure they understand. And that he did. And when you understand that 2 Thessalonians was a correction of misunderstanding, then you will understand 2 Thessalonians better. A lot of people use it to try to argue against the pre-trib rapture. Well, the book of 1 Thessalonians takes care of that. But of the time and the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's my sermon tomorrow. As a thief in the night. As a thief in the night. And I want to report again that, brother, our special day tomorrow, Father's Day, is to honor a man that has been a pillar of this church for 60 years. His name is James Lindsay. James Lindsay lived in the Thrift Village. He's living with a stepdaughter now because of his age condition and just is not able to feed himself and take care of himself by cooking and all. But he's still regularly in church, playing his guitar, testifying every chance he gets. We're going to honor him tomorrow. We're going to honor him upright too. I'm excited about that. And if you want to be here, you're to come. Now, I want to tell you, 1 week from Monday, not this Monday, but a week away, 9 days away, we start our annual camp meeting here at Paul Creek. annual camp meeting, the greatest camp meeting that is conducted across America, one of the greatest, happens right here at Paul Creek. Our night speaker is Mike Switzer. They don't come no finer than Mike Switzer. Our day speaker is Mayo, Jeff Mayo. Jeff Mayo, he is the overseer of the Emmanuel Holiness Churches all over America. Jeff Mayo, he'll be teaching in the morning at 11, and then we'll have great preachers preaching at 10. The first one is Brother Finn Cannon, and then Brother Joseph Gans, and then Brother Joey Yates, and then another brother, probably Brother Gans, if things work out right. Going to be a great week. We feed lunch every day, Tuesday through Friday, and that's complimentary. Our ladies work hard and have a great food, great meal. Every night after the 7 o'clock service, we'll be having things that you can purchase and eat, and hot dogs, etc. It's going to be a great week. It starts the 27th now, 27th of June, 1 week from this coming Monday. Don't you miss. I'm telling you, you got to come. Wherever you at, you got to come. Get your plane ticket. You can stay or go on the internet, paulcreek.org. Go right down, just stroll right down on the front page, and you'll find a list of 8 hotels that you can rent, good prices that you can stay, okay? That's right on the front page of paulcreek.org. Don't miss that, paulcreek.org. I want you to be here. I want you to be here. I really do. Now, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Okay, now I'm waiting for calls, 1-704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. The calls are going fine with the ladies, so the problem is only in here. Somewhere from here, well, in here, not in here, I don't guess, but somewhere in the system. But, you know, everything's fine here. When you call, I can hear you. You articulate fine. You just don't hear me, and I don't know why that is, but we'll find out. Sorry for that. Give us a call, 1-800-338. Want to send you that CD, my sermon tomorrow. Hey, so much of the church world isn't preaching. How long since you heard a sermon on Jesus coming like a thief in the night? How long since you heard a sermon showing that the rapture will be before the 7-year tribulation period? How long since you heard a sermon that talked about the bride of Christ and the great wedding supper? How long since you learned about the great wedding supper? Can you imagine a banquet in the heavens with multiplied millions, with Jesus as the center of the whole event? Can you imagine the banquet table spread with the grandest food that heaven can prepare? Can you imagine? Can you imagine a celebration of this magnitude, of this blessedness? And would you want to miss that? Please don't miss that. Please don't miss that. The King is coming. I said the King is coming, and I want you to go. I really do. I want you to get in your Bible. If you don't have my book on Revelation, I hope you'll get it. It's called The Masterpiece. Now, I'm not talking about my writing being the masterpiece. I'm talking about the words of Jesus being the masterpiece. So please contact us. I want you to have that. I want you to purchase that book, but I want you to have this free CD of the sermon as the thief in the night. We are living so close to that blessed event. Now, Brother Chambers brings you the truth with all of his heart. We hope that our post will go out today. We've had to spend quite a few dollars to get everything ready to take our emails back on the mailing list. And if you can help me financially, this is the toughest month of my year, the month of June. This is my toughest month. Be a part of my victory, will you? Be a part of our sufficiency. Be a part of the partnership of this ministry. Imagine helping me send these messages all the way to Australia, all the way to Africa, all the way to northern Russia, all the way into England, all over China, all over Pakistan, all over Iraq, all over South America, up in Canada. Can you imagine? That's what we're doing right now. I am being heard all over the globe right now. I am being heard to the ends of this earth right now. Can you imagine being a part of that? Can you imagine just having your little share in it? I mean, that's a grand opportunity for me to give you. It really is. To give you the privilege of participating with me in this ministry is an opportunity that you cannot afford to miss. You really cannot afford to miss. So let me hear from you. 1-800-338-7884. I'll try to keep the time here so I'll bring it to a proper conclusion. But I want to tell you something. Jesus is coming, and he's coming very soon. I mean, we're talking about at the door. We literally are talking about at the door. And if you miss this event, you miss the grandest event of human history. I want you to be ready to go. I want you to be part of the bride. I don't want you just to be there. I don't want you just to live in the nations of the new heaven and the new earth. I want you to live in the city of New Jerusalem. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to live in that city, you're going to be sold out to the Lord. That's the ultimate reward. If you're sold out to the Lord, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to have some great position. Just sold out to the Lord. That's all you got to be. Sold out, doing everything he pleases, living utterly for him, living a separated godly life. If you're living like this world, don't tell me you're an old-fashioned Christian, because I know better. I know what this Bible said. If you're living a sold-out life, you're going to be a separated person. You're going to want to be separated. Nobody has to make you be. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what I want to live. He wrote that to the Galatians, by the way. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I want to hear from you. You are important to me. You are very important to me. I want you growing in the things of the Lord. I want you growing in the nurtures of the Lord. I want you living so close to Christ that he's the center. Now, keep calling 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Okay, email jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. I love you. I love you. You're important to me.
And my family, and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side. When I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't you sit heaven's throne, with the shield and word of God to guide me. It's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when